The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 18. It is page 233 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen. Before we begin, I would like to ask for your understanding. I suffered a stomach flu, and it's because of my weakened condition. I will read from my script today. Now, Paul is now defending himself before the hearing convened by Governor Festus at the request of King Agrippa. For Paul, defending himself meant witnessing about the Lord, that Jesus had picked Paul out on his way to Damascus as if with a pincer. But this was not to bless Paul so that he could have a great life for himself. Jesus called Paul to make him his huperetes and martus so that other people can open their eyes to him. This meant, first of all, that the people would turn from darkness to light. The light of Jesus was to cast away the dank darkness that controlled the human mind. As I've said before, the light of Jesus was to restore the minds of humans, which were rotting away due to dank virus of darkness, to minds of new minds of purity, which will never rot again. Let's take a look again at verse 18 of today's text. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Another meaning of Jesus opening the eyes of people towards him is that he would make people in the world turn from the power of Satan to God. People live under the oppressive power of Satan, but they do not even realize this fact. We only need to remember that the public ministry of Jesus began with rejecting the temptation of Satan to understand how real the power of Satan is. The first temptation that Satan threw at Jesus at uninhabited wilderness was to have him turn stone into bread, if Jesus were really the Son of God. This temptation came at a time when Jesus' fasting, which lasted 40 days, had just ended. At the wilderness that went on forever, there was not a drop of water or a piece of bread. If you wanted to eat or drink, it was a time and a situation where you had to use any means possible. But Jesus rejected this temptation at once with the words, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus made it known that a person is not merely flesh who lives only on food for the body, but a spiritual being who must feed on the words of God. The second temptation put by Satan to Jesus was for him to jump off the top of the temple if he were really the Son of God. At the time, the height of the temple was about 40 meters. It was high enough for a person to suffer some critical injury. But Satan tempted Jesus to demonstrate publicly that he was the Son of God, since if Jesus were truly the Son of God, the God his Father would send angels to receive him, even if he jumped off from such a high place. The Jesus pulverized the second temptation of Satan as well with the words, "Do not put the Lord your God to test," as quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. The third and the last temptation put by Satan to Jesus was for Jesus to gain the power and glory of all kingdoms by worshiping Satan. It was a temptation for Jesus to become the ruler of the world, even at the cost of selling his soul. Jesus, simply with the words, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only," from Deuteronomy chapter 6:13, overpowered Satan, even at the last temptation. That Jesus began his public ministry by overcoming the temptation of Satan was a natural order of things, given that Jesus had come as a Messiah to save men. Without overpowering the power of Satan that destroys men, there wouldn't be a way to save men who are dying under Satan's power every day. If we were to summarize Satan's three temptations in a single expression, it would be to worship the self for one's own sake. Now, God had created the world with these words, "A stone should exist as a stone." This is the rule of God who created the stone with his words. If you could turn a stone into bread, what's to stop you from turning a stone into gold? Therefore, the first temptation of Satan, which prodded Jesus to turn stone into bread, even at the cost of ignoring God's law, was the temptation to maximize things for yourself using any and every means possible. It claims that the strongest weapon that a man can have to protect himself is not God, but mammon, which one can clearly own and possess. The second temptation for Jesus to jump off the top of the temple was a temptation to show off yourself before all other people in the world. The last temptation to enjoy the power and glory of all nations was a temptation to become the ruler of the world in which you belong, even by selling off your soul. In this way, Satan always tries to shut people up in the well of their desire, serving themselves, through these three processes. The first of these processes is to make a person use any and all means possible to enlarge what one has, be it material goods or talents. The second process is to lead the person to aggrandize himself or herself for the sake of popularity or fame. The last process is to make him lord over everyone in this world as a strong man, even at the cost of selling one's soul. In this world, the person who goes through all these processes is respected as having achieved success, but it is this very person who has failed to break free from the power of Satan. This person is unable to see himself as he forges ahead for the sake of himself, shut up in his own well of desires. A person who only serves him or herself, trapped in the well of selfish desires, is a person who continuously trades his or her life, which is more precious than anything in this world, with selfish desires that are empty like water bubbles, no matter how much possession he or she owns, even if the person's popularity or fame is as high as a mountain. Even if the person rules over everyone as the ultimate boss, his life will end merely as a handful of dust since he has sold his soul away. But the person who is facing such fate does not even know that his life is emptily crumbling away and does his best to run the way of destruction. Could there be a better strategy for Satan to destroy men? And this is not all. A person who is shut up in his or her own selfish desires and lives to serve the self does not only destroy his or her life. In order to maximize what one has using all means possible, it is unavoidable that you hurt a lot of other people. If you try to show off yourself and raise up yourself with things that you have, it is unavoidable that you inflict wounds on a lot of people. If you try to lord over everyone in your world as a strong man, even at the cost of selling yourself, then how many people would have to suffer the pain of being the weaker victim? And so the person who lives for the self, shut up in the well of selfish desires, end up hurting other people's lives, not only his or her own. And Satan used the same method to tempt Christ. But Jesus singularly rejected these temptations of Satan, which came to him over three occasions with the words of God. If we were to summarize them, it would be to serve God only with the words of God. As we have said before, the words of God is a mirror which reflects our realities. It is only through the mirror of the words of God that we can confirm that we are sinners. It is only through the mirror of the words of God that we are able to realize that we are using all our strength to run the path of death in foolishness. It is only through the mirror of the words of God that I can rightly become conscious that a lot of people are suffering because of my excess greed, negligence, and irresponsibility. It is only through the mirror of the words of God that we can realize that the greatest strength I have, a finite being, does not come from the things of the world, but God, who is the creator of heaven and earth. This is why Jesus beat back the temptations of Satan over three times, which came to him three times, with the words of God each time. Now this Jesus died as an offering on the cross. This was to pay for men's sins, which had harmed them and others in serving themselves, shut up in the wells of their selfish desires while living under the power of Satan. Now, Jesus broke the power of death and lived again in 3 days. This was to show men the way of eternal life, that is, in serving God in God's words. If so, then what should we who believe in Jesus see when we see the cross? Is it Jesus who has died nailed to the cross for us? No, definitely not. Jesus, who lived again, breaking death apart 3 days later, is no longer hanging on the cross. Apostle Paul tells us the answer as to what we should see on the cross. These are the words from Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That Jesus died as an offering on the cross to pay for our sins means that our old selves have died with this Jesus. When the body of Jesus was nailed to the cross as an atonement offering for us, our old selves, which had been under the power of Satan and which only served ourselves, shut up in our wells of selfish desires, had also been nailed to the cross. Anyone who professes to believe that Jesus has paid for his or her sins but is not able to realize that his or her old self has died is someone who does not yet know Jesus on the cross nor believe in him correctly. To believe Jesus on the cross is to believe that when Jesus died on the cross as an offering on the cross, I too have died with him. Therefore, a Christian is someone like Paul who sees one's old self, one's passions and desires as having been already nailed to the cross. It is only such person who's able to serve triune God only in Jesus, who lived again 3 days later. Paul, who experienced this to the core, more so than anyone, confessed as follows. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul was originally a young man who dreamed of becoming a top leader of Judaic faith. To make this dream come true, from a young age, he denied Jesus and considered it his God-given job to destroy the church. By doing so, Paul maximized the influence in Judaic religion from early on, widely promoted himself within Jewish society, and strengthened his power base to become the man at the top among Jewish people. In anyone's eyes, it was clear that Paul was on his way to success. But in reality, he was nothing more than a pathetic young man who was daily running towards his death. Jesus called such a piteous person that Paul was on his way to Damascus. He let the scales fall from Paul's eyes and let him open his eyes towards Jesus himself. Paul had been locked up in Satan's power and was dying diligently every day, but he had no realization of this. Jesus called such a person as Paul to come back to God through his grace. In that grace of Jesus, Paul's old man died. Together with Jesus, who died as an offering on the cross for him, his old self became nailed to the cross. And Paul accepted Jesus, who had lived again after 3 days, as his Savior. And in Jesus, for Jesus, by the strength given to him by Jesus, lived the life of hyperetes and martyrs of Jesus, who turned people from the power of Satan to God without wavering. Now we need not doubt that this new life of Paul in the grace of Jesus was possible because his old self had first been nailed to the cross together with Jesus. During the past lunar holidays, I had a chance to make time to see video clips of famous singers who had at one time reached the top in the world. As I watched these clips, I couldn't stop feeling regrets. Now, these persons were special people who had received top talents from God. But they used their talents to maximize what they have, to flaunt their popularity and fame, and as a way to lord over others as the powerful ones. And as a result, because of the talents that others did not have, their lives became ruined. The comparisons of the clips of their early debut days, the time that they had reached the top, and when their lives began to unravel, carried a huge message. If they had used their precious talents given to them by God, to serve God and others, their lives would have surely traveled a different path. A member of our church, who always tries to live as a faithful Christian, sent me a story about his experience in early January. And I would like to share it with you, with his permission. After retiring from 40 years of work in August of 2016, I searched for something that could become a new subject of my focus and attention, which had become a daily habit. While I searched, I started focusing on playing a saxophone as a hobby from the end of last September. I bought a saxophone for a beginner and practiced diligently. As I came to know other players who are practicing saxophones, I learned that French-made saxophones are the best. I also came to know that the price of these French saxophones were about 4 to 5 times more expensive than the instrument I was using. So I decided to buy one 2 or 3 years later when my playing skills improved. On December 15th of last year, I went to London with my wife, where my married daughter lives, on a holiday. And while I was staying in London, I also got a chance to visit Paris, France, with my daughter. My daughter, who knew that I was into saxophone practice, led me to a showroom of a French company that made best saxophones in the world. And she persuaded me to buy the saxophone that I had been planning to buy 2 or 3 years later, considering my age. So, and when I came out of the showroom, my daughter asked me what I was thinking about so intently. At that moment, I was thinking about how to avoid paying customs tax if I were to buy that instrument. And I was really ashamed, as if my daughter had discovered what I was thinking. At the same time, I recalled one sermon where you said how many believers, including pastors and elders, did a wrong thing to avoid customs tax at the customs on their way back from a group pilgrimage. And the thought that I, who became a district leader for this year, failed to pay tax as I should in violation of the words, then how can I lead other people in the group? And this thought occurred to me. So I confessed my foolish thoughts to my daughter and my wife and asked for their forgiveness. And when I entered the country yesterday, I recorded the correct amount of the saxophone and reported it. I thank the Lord who made me remember the words of your sermon throughout my trip. At the same time, I felt proud of having kept to the words, and even greater gratitude for being able to do so. And I plan to share my experience with my district members during our Bible study so that they can also share in this thankful experience. I am so proud that I'm walking the life of faith with such a member. If you have means to voluntarily buy an expensive good while traveling abroad, then wouldn't you also have the means to pay the tax also? But if you have money but tries to sneak in high-priced goods purchased abroad, even by fooling oneself, could such person be a true Christian? The member I just mentioned almost did so. But at that very moment, the person nailed his old self who wanted to do that on the cross. He remembered his identity as a Christian. And as befitting a Christian who became born again in Jesus, who lived after 3 days, reported the high price item he had purchased with honesty, and thanked God that he was able to act like a Christian. The gratitude of Christian is not based on coming to get more things or coming to own more things. Gratitude of Christian lies in being able to use what one already have, what one already has rightly for God and other people. The cause of this great chaos we are facing today in our nation is very simple. It is a result of how everyone in this nation, even Christians, live to serve the self, being shut away in the wells of selfish desires, even at the cost of selling one's soul. Satan is not far away. No matter how holy I may look, if I live shut up in the well of my passion, serving only myself, then there is no doubt that I am a servant of Satan who ruins myself and lives of others at the same time. If I have nothing and have achieved nothing, but use what I have as an instrument to serve people and others in the words of God, then no matter what others may say, I am clearly a child of God. Jesus, who had died as an offering on the cross to pay for our sins, has lived again 3 days later, breaking death apart. If we are Christians who have received this Jesus as our Savior, then let us remember that our old selves have been nailed to the cross with Jesus. Let us all be strengthened by Jesus, who has lived after 3 days, and turned to God from the power of Satan. Jesus will use us as his whipperettas and martyrs to renew our society, which has fallen into the crucible of chaos. Let us pray. Eve did not commit sin at a wilderness of death where there is nothing to eat or drink. She turned back on God and ate the forbidden fruit at the Garden of Eden, which did not lack for anything, where everything was abundant. Falling for Satan's temptation that you can become like God, in other words, serve yourself as God. Help us to remember that as a result, she not only ruined her life, but the life of her husband, Adam. Jesus did not reject Satan's temptation at the Garden of Eden, which lacked for nothing, where all was abundant. He dismissed Satan's temptations, which came three times, each time with the words of God, at the wilderness of death, where there was nothing to eat or drink, and after having fasted for 40 days. We thank you that this Jesus is calling us to him even today and has allowed us to turn from the power of Satan to God in the grace of Jesus. The world tempts us to live to serve ourselves and live as we please. It tells us to maximize our rights no matter what. It tempts us to promote ourselves by using all kinds of means and to enlarge our powers, even at the cost of selling our souls. Because of this, our society is now mired in a great storm of chaos. We confess that we too are responsible for its cause. We ask for your forgiveness. Each time when we are inclined to waver at the temptation of the world to live as we please, please help us to regard my old self, which has been nailed to the cross already with Jesus. In Jesus, who has lived 3 days later, help me to remember my identity as a newly born Christian who serves God. And thereby, may all of us be able to live as hypocrites and martyrs of Jesus, who turn people who are oppressed by the power of Satan to God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.